The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
On the Realm Network, Russo's brand coming at you 24/7. We've got so many stars on Russo's brand. It is an honor and a privilege to be here and bring you Goldie's Closet every week. And this week, we've got somebody that all of you have been asking for quite a long time. He's a staple of AEW, All Elite Wrestling. He's a member of the Dark Order, and he's just an all-around funny, great dude. He's been wrestling professionally since, well, he started when he was 14, professionally and illegally since he was 16. An absolute phenomenal guest. Like I said, super funny, chill, positive, and awesome guy. Please welcome to the Realm Network and Russo's brand, Mr. John Silver.
Do you have entrance music playing?
No. You hear music?
Are you kidding? Oh, it's your match showing in the... I was like, dude, that's really loud. I was watching one of your matches in the background. I'm like, oh, maybe he's calling from the gym locker room. We have people that come on from, sometimes I wonder where the hell they are. Really, it's quite entertaining. And yeah, I've had people streaking in the background naked and yeah, lots of interesting things, but we won't get into all that. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. How about you?
I can't wait to meet you in person just because I have heard so much great stuff about you. I was talking to Jerry just a couple of days ago and or a little while ago. I won't say when and incriminate him. But I was like, is this guy a good dude? He's like, oh, yeah, he's really, really good. I was glad to hear that. That's good to hear.
I love Jerry. Jerry's the best.
Well, it's your promotion is just on fire. And a lot of people bitch about wrestling today and what it is and, you know, what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But a lot of people have really positive things to say about All Elite. So I'm honored to have you on today.
Oh, thank you.
I was watching one of your matches, and then something else that there was a commentary that I didn't know until just a few minutes ago. Like, were you just recently hurt badly, or is that from a while ago?
No, yeah, that was this Wednesday. It's not anything too serious. It happened like middle of my match, main event match for the title, and kept going, of course. But I actually just got back from the orthopedic, so they gave me pretty good news. Don't need anything, like I don't need surgery. And they said that I could possibly, once the inflammation goes down, I could, you know, really start to improve. One thing I found out, apparently my labrum in my shoulder has been torn, but that was not from this Wednesday. This is from a while ago.
It's from hard sex, John.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty what happened though, so.
So what did happen? That's crazy because I just, after all my years in wrestling, I just went to the orthopedic last week because I have a shoulder injury. How? I don't know. I can't do shit. I can't wipe my ass. I can't lift my hand up. I feel like an 80-year-old human. And I'm thinking of all the years that I was in wrestling. I didn't get too badly bumped around. And then now I wake up with the... So, and then did you get the x-ray or MRI on your shoulder?
I did an MRI.
Okay, so do you know what position your bone is here? If you have the one that goes all the way down or like this or like this, like I just found that out last week. Do you know what position your bone is in? That some little connector bone. I don't know what it is. You should tell me. You went.
Oh, I don't know. They didn't tell me that. They just had me like lay flat basically. And they just did the pictures. And then they just said, hey, well, they tried to show me everything, but like trying to show someone an MRI is very like, I've seen like diagrams of shoulders and it doesn't look how it does in an MRI. So I'm like, he's like, yeah, this is inflammation, this is this bone, this is this bone, this is that, your labrum, this is your torn labrum. Like, so but I'm like, oh, okay. It's hard to see it all like that, though.
What bump did you take? What happened? Because I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, so I was on the outside, and I threw Darby into the guardrail, and then I do a thing. I usually run up and give him a big European uppercut. So I went for the uppercut, and he moved out of the way, and I flipped over the guardrail. And first of all, I landed on my head, so I had a big knot on my head. But I guess when I went down, I went to the post or like try to brace myself with my hand. And then, so I didn't even land on the shoulder, but I tried to brace with it. Like, I tried to like reach or something. I don't know. And then it just like stretched too much. Like, my arm went like my hand was here, and my body went the other way, I guess. So it just kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
How bad did that hurt at the time?
Right away, I was more concerned with my head because I hit my head on the cement out there, so it wasn't that hurt. And then I kind of, once I started moving my shoulder, I'm like, oh yeah, my shoulder's also messed up. So I had like a few seconds to kind of breathe and try to think. And I was like, okay, I'm going to finish the match. I'm going to at least try. But, you know, the first thing I was going to do once I got in the ring was start throwing European uppercuts with the shoulder. So I realized I couldn't do that. So I threw one forearm with it. I'm like, I can't do that. I tried to use my lefty. I threw the lefty. I'm like, yeah, that didn't look as good. And so I'm like, you know what? I have really good kicks. Let me just start kicking them. So I went with the kick. So I worked around it, and I think it wasn't that bad. But there's definitely things that would have been better if this wasn't messed up.
I just found out after, again, all my years in wrestling and even training with a few people for a little bit, getting ready to do some indie matches and whatnot before they all passed away. That's my luck with men. They either leave or die. I did not know until a little while ago from Eric Young that everything in wrestling is on the left side, or you do everything with the left. Mm-hmm. That's really true. Like, how do I not know this? I didn't know that. Like, I just knew spots and what you call. And so my reason for asking you that is, okay, so your right shoulder is now injured, and mm-hmm. you're still going to do things with your left. But like you said, you want to finish the match. So do you panic, or do you just, what do you do in your own mind when you're thinking like, okay, I can't do the things that I would normally go do now because like I'm really f***ed up right now. Like, do you panic? Do you just change it as it comes? Or do you ever go to grab the wrong thing because you're hurt thinking, oh shit, that's the wrong way to do it? Or like, what goes down in your mind when you're that hurt? Because I know people that have cracked the back of their head or broken their neck, or they know their back is broken and they're still trying to finish a match. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, so I think the first thing that went through my head is trying to think of the match and if there is anything that I need to cut that I won't be able to do.
Shit. God.
The end of the match, well, the last two things in the match was I hit this big move I call the spin doctor off the top, well, off the second rope to Darby. So that move, I need to use my right arm a lot. So it's basically I get him like a torture rack almost. And I spin him into a powerbomb. So I usually do that. I grab his leg with my right hand, and I spin it into the powerbomb. So I got him up, but I'm like, let me see what I can do. And I once I had him there, I'm like, I got it, but it was a little, I knew it was going to be difficult. And the finish was I go for a basically like a last ride. And I lift him up, and then he kind of went into like a code red into a pin. So I'm like, all right, well, now I have to lift his whole body up with my arms over my head. And my shoulder is not doing well. It worked. And I mean, that did hurt a lot, but it did work. So
you don't ever think like this is going to look really great and I'm going to get a lot of glory, but I might completely like rip my arm in half or damage myself beyond repair, or you're just going for it and the adrenaline's kicking in and you're going to finish it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that at all. I just kind of was like, all right, got to finish the match, see what happens. But if I really thought I was, my arm was really gonna like, it was seriously destroyed, I maybe would have done something else. But if I like couldn't move it at all, that'd be different. But I was still able to move it. Once the swelling and the inflammation picked up, then the next day I couldn't move it at all. I couldn't be able to do any of that stuff. But at the time, I had the adrenaline going. I was, you know, in the zone. So it's a little easier when you have that going. But the next day, I couldn't do anything.
Do you get annoyed? Because I get annoyed when, like, a friend of mine, he's got a job, he works in a kitchen, and some big shot guy in the back was just talking shit about how wrestling is fake. And he's like, oh, don't talk about that around my friend, like, she'll go nuts on you. It's like, I'm thinking about a story. There was a guy that we worked with first early years TNA, his name's Ryan Wilson, Lord Humongous, and he was telling me about a match where his eye literally popped out and they had to push it back in. And like the thought of your eye popping. And then I still hear people, like, I know people that barely hurt their shoulder at all. And they're so dramatic and they're such drama queens and they're like huge men. And then there's like you, you're probably going to go back to work like sooner than later. And you're really hurt. Like, how does that, do you even care anymore if people talk shit, or do you get in fights, or do you get mad, or do you just let it roll off your back? Or like, how do you deal with that? Because it really offends me after all the years I've been in this business when, you know, my response is like, why don't you have a metal chair come to your head and see how you're feeling? Like, there's just so many things that go wrong in a match, even if it's going right. You're so much pain that you guys are all in, and girls, that it's hard to explain that to somebody. But how do you feel when you hear people, marks or people talking shit online? How do you react to that?
I really think it, like, those are like the dumbest people in the world. Like, because it's, I get it, like, back in the day, let's say like the 80s or the 90s, when someone, like, when it wasn't a well-known fact, or even, you know, even before that, that wrestling wasn't like a, I wouldn't say like a real sport, but now like everyone knows. So if someone's like, "Oh, did you know wrestling's fake?" It's like, "Yeah, no shit, idiot." Like it's, but it's still very painful. It still hurts. Like there's no way to get around a lot of the stuff that we do with, you know, with, there's no way to get around it without it hurting. So I just think those people are just very dumb. Like it's like everyone knows, and you're like trying to tell us, like, that's like saying, you know, like, I don't know, like, that's like just saying a fact that everyone knows to people.
I get it. No, that's an interesting take on it, because I still don't even use the word like fake. Like, I just, because it's not fake to me. I know what you're saying, or there's some choreography, or people talk a little bit before, but so much of what I saw in TNA and Impact was just so wild, wild west with, even if there was something that was talked about or planned or a spot that they went over, like so much of it changed by the time they got into the ring. And then so many personal opinions got in there. Like there was, there was a match that I had where I literally thought I was going to get killed. Like I had so much heat that was behind the scenes that was being spread by the office intentionally just to make good TV. And I literally thought that the person that I was working against was going to figure out a way to kill me, because they thought that I was having an affair with their husband in real life. And I wasn't. And I find this out like 15 years later that, oh, the office was really, really, like, you know, egging that on. I'm like, what the fuck? I wasn't like that. That wasn't me. I had my own mess somewhere else that I was dealing with, not there, you know? I thought I was going to get killed. So I don't know. I guess maybe it's different. It's different these days than it is when I started in 2002, but I don't think it's that different. And it seems like, you know, you're younger and have your head on straight, and you're funny as fuck. Like you remind me of like Eric Young when he broke in, like just a funny, funny dude. Like, I don't know where. So tell me what's going on with the silver screen. This is your own gimmick that you're doing on the side. Like, what is this? Because I just fell upon this a couple days ago. What's this all about?
Yeah, I always had an idea of just, like, recreating, like, movie scenes that I like, and so I've had it for years, like, the idea for years, and I'm like, you know what, now I have a little bit more of a following where people will watch it, so, like, I always want to recreate it with wrestlers, so I've been doing that recently. I'm not sure when you're going to air this, but unfortunately, because of the shoulder, I haven't been able to film this week, so tomorrow I won't have one unless I get people together from the area and just film something.
Okay, you do it in person then. I noticed that.
Yeah. So I'll just get like, usually it's like a lot of AEW people because we're all there.
Yeah.
But I also have my buddies from home that are wrestlers and stuff like that. So the most recent one we filmed was the 40-year-old virgin. Had people from home that I had do that. And my one buddy has very hairy. So like, sure, let's do the wax scene. So we waxed them. It's pretty funny. But yeah, it's real. We just really just waxed them. But yeah.
Who waxed them? You did?
Yeah. So I went to like CVS and got like the shitty like wax paper. And I'm like, you know what? We'll see what happens.
You did it yourself.
Yeah.
You can really hurt somebody with that.
I mean, if they sell it at CVS, it's got to be somewhat safe.
Somewhat safe. If you know what you're doing, ow. I'm going to have to go watch that for sure.
Corrections, all right.
Are you going to do a Patreon, or are you just going to keep offering it out there for free right now? Or that sounds like something that people would pay to see.
Yeah, it's for free. I mean, eventually, if it's my YouTube page gets big enough, I think you get paid off of YouTube if you monetize.
I like it.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know much about Patreon anyway, so I'll just release everything and see what people like.
I like it. Is AEW? I hear like the promotion is just great. Like it's just a super big family, and they take really good care of everybody. And everybody through the COVID just said how well they were treated, and that was really nice to hear about a promotion.
Yeah.
Are they cool with you doing other like? Because of your contract, can you do indie shows right now, even though there aren't a lot or not? Or if you can't talk about it, that's fine. And this is not live. So if there's anything you're like, I don't want to talk about, just raise your hand and I'll cut it out. But do they encourage other things, or do you get to home, or how does that work?
Yeah, I could pretty much do whatever. But right now with COVID, it's not a good idea to do it. I mean, because the last thing you want is if you do an indie show, let's say a wrestle on an indie show, you're having the risk of getting injured. And then now putting the risk of getting COVID.
If you get okay. COVID,
especially, you know, it's one thing to get COVID, then you test positive and you can't go. Another thing, if let's say you had a show this day and then, you know, COVID didn't show up in your system until you got to the taping, and then you infect more people with COVID. So, to me, it's not worth the money to do any indie shows right now or anything like that. But
got it.
I've done like a few like signings, but with the signings, everyone has to wear the masks, and we actually have like a plexiglass and stuff in front of us. We just can't really take the risk of us getting sick, missing TV, or infecting other people. So
no, I get it. That's you have to be. I mean, it's not like you have a regular job, like an office job. Like you're definitely like on top of somebody, you know.
Yeah.
breathing their breath. What was I going to talk to you about? Terry Lynn said, make sure that you ask him about Mikey Whipwreck. That's such a name. So, how old were you when you did you watch wrestling growing up? Was that your thing, or did you fall into it later, like I did?
Oh yeah, I watched it. I watched it my whole life.
Okay.
As early as I could really remember.
And you were doing your own backyard matches. You were doing stuff in the living room, the dining room. Were you getting into trouble? Did you wait until you trained? How did that go down?
So I mean, obviously mess around in like the backyard and stuff like that.
Terrifying.
I had a trampoline. So I would, you know, have not even real matches. I just kind of like do a lot of moves. And then I started in a little like, it wasn't even a real backyard like wrestling company. We just kind of like a bunch of people that liked wrestling and would have matches and stuff in the backyard. And then we had like a music video that was made. And then eventually I started training for pro wrestling. I was 14. So I was very young. And
that's really? How did that go down? How'd that happen?
So the place I trained was NYWC in Long Island. And I was just...
Oh, that's what he was talking about. I was looking at your wiki and it didn't say anything about that, but that's where you trained.
Yeah, so that's where I trained. So I went down there. I actually was on Facebook. No, I was on MySpace. Yeah. And I was in like a rap band group thing. And I, you know, I just asked, hey, does anyone know a wrestling school in Long Island? And they mentioned NYWC. So I went down to check it out. And I was 14. I was a young little kid. I was 110 pounds. And they're like, I was, you know, an athletic. I was always athletic. and I did like the school wrestling and stuff like that. I played soccer. So I went down there like, yeah, we usually don't let people your age, you know, train here. But if your mom says it's all right, and also since you're athletic and you seem like a good kid, we'll let you start training at 14. So, yeah.
Did you go down by yourself, or did your mom go down with you, or did you go down with a note, or what did you do?
Oh yeah, my mom brought me there. I couldn't drive at 14, so she had to drive me, and she wanted to see it too. She was the one paying for it. I couldn't pay for it. I had no money when I was 14.
How did you talk your mom into? Because I went to the gym when I was 8. I rode my bike, and they said you can't be here, and you need a note from your mom or whatever. And I said my mom's sick. She's in the hospital. My dad's disabled. And I think they called, you know, the old landline, they called on the phone, and my dad said, yeah, as long as she's being safe, you know, like it's okay if she's there, and they let me. So that was something that like, I didn't even bother my parents. I just decided that I was going to go. Was this something like you're 13 years old and you're bugging your mom, or you're 14 and you're bugging your mom, or did you just tell her one day, like, mom, you said you were on MySpace digging around on your own. Like, you're looking and you find out there's a place in your town, and then you just said, will you bring me down there? Or what did you tell her?
Yeah, I think, she always knew I was like a huge wrestling fan. So it's not like it was
okay.
This weird, like, whoa, you want to be a wrestler? So she always knew this is what I wanted to do. She was fine with it. She wanted to go down there and check it out, make sure it's like legit, not, you know, some BS place. So she liked it. She thought it was cool. Everyone seemed nice and professional. And I think I just asked him, like, hey, mom, like, I know I might be too young, but can we like look into this? And then once they said, no, you can start training now, it was like, oh, hell yeah, let's get going.
Wow. Is your mom still around? She must be very proud of you.
Yeah. She lives in Florida now, but she lives in Florida. So she came to like one of the shows. She lives about like 3 hours away. So she drove to Jacksonville and she watched. And actually my dad flew down to the match this past Wednesday.
Where you got hurt.
Yeah, where I got hurt. But he went just to see too. So they're both very happy.
I love it. Was your dad freaked out when you got hurt, or was
no? He didn't care. He was so just wanted to talk about the match, and he's like, "Yeah, I was in the crowd. I was yelling at Matt Hardy, and then I was yelling at the ref." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, my dad. I think my shoulder might be really messed up." He's like, "Oh, yeah, okay. Well, the match was really good, and you did the craziest thing off the top, and then you did this." And I'm like, hopefully this isn't serious." He's like, "Oh yeah. Oh, did you hear me yelling? Did you see my sign?"
Somehow it all goes back to being about them and their sign. And oh my god. Okay, so you're 14 years old and you're training. How long do you start training before you do like your first match that's a big deal? 15 16? Like, when do they allow you to do that?
I mean, legally I wasn't supposed to wrestle until I was 18, but I had my first match at 16 years old. It was a battle royal, and they decided to make me win, so it was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, you know what? We usually will have like, it's a random battle royal. It wasn't for like a title shot or anything. It would just be the show was it was at a high school, and it wasn't like they had like their main shows, which were, you know, they had like their storylines and all that stuff. This is kind of like an extra show that they were just like, hey, we're so it didn't. I wouldn't say it didn't mean anything. It wasn't like storyline driven. Just kind of like a show for this. I think it might have been like a fundraiser too for like the school or whatever. But they're like, you know, well, you know, we'd rather would have like one of the bigger guys win, or we thought it'd be cool if we just had the smallest guy win. And like I said, I was 16 then, so I wasn't 110 pounds still, but I was probably like 120 pounds at that point.
Who was the first person that you remember wrestling where you thought, like, I can't believe like I'm working this person?
That's a good question.
Why I ask that is I had no idea who I was interviewing or managing or working with half the time. I got not thrown into wrestling, but I came to wrestling to sing and to do backstage interviews. And then it just turned into managing and then into wrestling. And appreciate or even know, like, you know, like, oh, I'm interviewing Scott Hall or Ken Shamrock or you know what I mean? Like, I had no idea. The Rock and Roll Express, yeah, whatever. You know, Kurt Hennig, yeah, whatever. Dusty Rhodes, like, I didn't know, like, how great that they really were because I was just young and really stupid. I'm sure you're not young and stupid like I was, but who was that person where you were just like, holy shit, like, I just worked so-and-so?
Probably the earliest... Actually, one of the earliest people I remember meeting, I didn't get to work him, was Jerry Lynn. But the earliest person I got in the ring with, he was actually my tag partner, was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
I was still young. I was probably at a point like 17 or 18 at that point. Probably at 17. And yeah, they had a show in Queens. And it was me and Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus these two guys from Long Island. Well, actually, one's from Ireland, but moved to Long Island. But it was just cool. I was like, wow, he's my attack partner. And then he had his 2x4 and he let me like keep it. He's like, he signed it for me and everything. It's pretty
cool. Sounds like a really great guy.
Oh, yeah, he was very nice. He's very, very cool.
Oh, okay. But that's young. You're like 17?
At that point, I was probably 17, yeah.
Okay, so move us forward. What's the first, like, real gimmick that you had? Like, what is your gimmick when you're 17? Where did you come up with it? I'm looking at Darby now, and I'm going to find out where his gimmick came from and where the Dark Order and all of this stuff.
Oh, well, Darby's just Darby. That's him. That's not a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick.
Weird guy, he just... hangs out by him. So he actually gets changed in the boiler room. I don't even know why. Like, that's not a gimmick, first of all, for Darby. That's who he is. But my first gimmick was I was Big John Silver, and I was kind of like similar to like Big John Studd, but I was obviously a lot shorter. He's, you know, so there's like, also my tag partner, his name was Oscar the Giant, and he's supposed to be like Andre the Giant, but we're both small guys. He was 5'4", I'm 5'5", and they just thought it was funny. It was like the small guys acting like the big guys. But so I tried to like, actually, it's funny because I learned, you know, you think at that size, you're not going to obviously do big guy type stuff normally. Like for this gimmick, I did, but I started doing like the Beals, which I still do today, and I realized I can really throw people really far. And I started to do certain things that, until I got bigger and stronger, I'm like, wow, I actually could do that stuff. So it kind of like helped me. It kind of helped me a little bit, like grow. If that makes sense. Like I used to do when, but now it still makes sense today. I don't know, but I was doing Beals to people, throwing them around the ring because I was trying to act like the big guy. But now I can really throw people pretty far, so I still use it today.
When I looked you up, it says you're 5'4". But when I was looking at you online, I thought you were like 6 something. Like, I mean, you appear to be very bigger than life.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it doesn't matter how tall you are, but like, I didn't know when I started wrestling how powerful an AJ Styles or an Eric Young really was. I always imagined wrestlers to be like Andre the Giant, or I managed Abyss, or, you know, to me, that's what Scott Hall is a pretty big guy. I don't know how tall is Scott Hall. He can't be more than six. Was he 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah,
but like in my mind, like that's what, and then I met AJ, and then, I mean, even Christopher Daniels isn't the biggest guy on the roster, or Elix Skipper, or a lot of these guys are just absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And they just blew my mind and changed my perception of like what a wrestler is. And, it, you know, I mean, there's so much talent, so many different sizes. I like seeing chicks wrestle a guy. If that's what they come up with and that's what makes sense, then I want to see it. I don't think you should not. If it makes sense, then do it. Not don't just do it to do it, but if it makes sense in the story, Let's, who's this guy now? Who is your trainer, Mike? Mike Whipwreck. Let's talk about him a little bit. Let's give him a little bit of shine.
Mikey Whipwreck, ECW legend, triple crown champion, ECW. it was actually pretty funny. Like, I always knew about ECW growing up, but I was, that's like, I wouldn't say before the internet, but before, like the internet was so easy to get to, like, on your phone always, and, like, just look whatever thing, like, so that's, like, I knew ECW, but I didn't know how to watch it, how to see it, whatever. So, I think at one point, it was around the time I bought the ECW, the Rise and Fall of ECW, and, like, okay. They had a whole little section on Mikey Whipwreck, also alone. And then when I looked at the school, it was like, oh, Mikey's the trainer? This is crazy. So he was like, I got there and I was, you know, a little starstruck and like scared and nervous. And, but Mikey's a great trainer. Mikey trained so many people that are on TV today, including myself and my tag partner, Alex Reynolds, Tony Nese, that's on in WWE, Brian Myers, Zack Ryder, or Matt Cardona, whatever you call him. So, like, so many people he's trained. So he's a very good trainer, a very good wrestler, very unique. If you watch, like, a lot of his old matches, especially, like, his tag matches with Tajiri, like, some really crazy innovative stuff. So, and he really nailed in, like, the fundamentals with us. Like, a lot of, especially nowadays, like, people will start quitting if they aren't doing the fun stuff, but like I did like chain wrestling for 3 months before I was allowed in the ring. Like, you had the fundamentals had to be there or you weren't going to move on. So he was definitely a very good trainer.
That's what I was going to ask you. What makes a good trainer? Why do you say that? So because he, you know, really pushed fundamentals and didn't just let you run wild and do whatever you wanted to do. What else did he do that makes a good trainer?
I mean, he was like stern, but approachable. So it wasn't like, sometimes I think if your trainer jokes around maybe too much or is too much of your buddy and not your trainer, you kind of, you really don't want that, but you also don't want someone that's like abusive of their power. But he wasn't. So he like pushed us. He made sure we weren't messing around. We weren't sure we were messing up. He really took time to break everything down for us so we can understand stuff like a little better. It was like everything that could help us, he really did. There was nothing that he like, oh, he's good at this, but he didn't really help us this way. Like, he really was there to help us. He taught us as much as he possibly could. So, and it worked because he trained so many people that actually like made it in pro wrestling.
I love seeing that. There's been some people that I've interviewed that have rattled off a grocery list of the hits, you know, like our trainer did all of this. And that is amazing. It does speak volumes for them. I saw you were drinking beer and you were hooked up to some sort of stimulator on Instagram.
Yeah.
So what kind of stimulator was that? Was that like the ab one or was that for like healing or what was that thing?
Yeah. So my sister's a physician's assistant. So it's okay. It's for like to break up knots and stuff like that in your body. So it's really, we use it not the right way, obviously, because it's fun. But, you know, usually I would actually, when I did PT for my neck years ago, you know, you hook that up and it just kind of like pulsates a little bit, tries to break, you know, knots up and stuff like that. But if you put it on pretty high, it could really jolt you a little bit. So we put it all on my arm, my forearm and my bicep, and it really like it goes in little like spurts, so it's like boom, like boom, you know, like we put it pretty high too, obviously, and it's like we call it like the electric stim challenge, where you have to try to drink your drink while you have that going on your arm. The first time I got close to my mouth, I mean, it's not bad where you can really see it, but you can kind of feel it. I like chipped my tooth a little bit. I like bashed myself in the tooth. I chipped a little bit. So I was like, oh, great. So I didn't want to get too close. So I was just trying to like throw it into my mouth, basically. But it was pretty fun. But also there's a setting, which they did for a second. I didn't post it though. But if you, once they hit it, the setting, my arm locked up like this. And I just couldn't move it. And it was like frozen. And I'm like, oh, you got to stop. And then we did it to my sister. So when we did it to her, her arm just went like that. And she couldn't stop. That's pretty painful, actually, but pretty funny, though.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You're like doing, you got a lot of stuff where you're doing beer and then you look like you're in amazing shape. So do you just drink and then eat really, really well? Or do you just work out a ton and do eat and drink whatever you want? Or how do you look the way that you do? Cause you look amazing.
Oh, thank you. I mean, for the most part, I eat very well.
Tell people what you eat so that they understand. Cause there's a lot of people that are watching right now or that'll be listening who need to hear this. Like when I say you eat clean or you eat really well, please tell us what that is so that it's not just always coming from me.
Well, the good thing is that since I have more muscle, I can eat more and I work out every day. And a lot of times I'll do 2 days. So I'll have a time, like I'll lift early in the day and then I'll rather come back. Well, not come back to that gym, but go to a different gym and do jiu-jitsu or kickboxing. So I'm burning a lot. So it's okay if I eat a little bit more. So there are plenty, like if I have a drink, it's not the worst thing in the world for me. But, you know, morning, I'm eating 5 eggs with toast and like a banana or maybe blueberries. Usually I'll go to the gym somewhat after that, have a protein shake with maybe some Greek yogurt. Later on in the day, I mean, it always changes. I don't do the same thing every day, but let's just see what I mean, I didn't lift today, obviously, but I did some cardio. But today I had a chicken. It's like a chicken burger with cauliflower bun almost. It was like a cauliflower protein bun. I don't even know. But it was pretty cool. I had that with broccoli and some rice. And then I also had 1.5 turkey burgers with sweet potato and broccoli, and then I'll probably have at least another protein shake or maybe some tuna later. And yeah, so try to eat at least 3, 4, 5 meals a day. But if it's healthy and it's good, it depends on what I did throughout the day, then that's what I look for.
Nah, it sounds really, really good. You can obviously have more carbs than somebody like me, because if I have for a banana or blueberries like that, all just turns to sugar for me. And so on you, it doesn't look like that, but that's good. The cauliflower thing sounded pretty good though. I don't think people. First time.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds good. Where did you get it?
I think it just was like, it? I don't even know. Trader Joe's maybe.
Oh, so it's a pre-made gimmick then.
I don't know. I had my girlfriend make it, so I don't even know. She's
yeah, but it's not like you went to the restaurant and got it. That's what I'm saying.
No, she made it. I think she bought it, but then you just have to like reheat it, I think.
That sounds, I'm gonna go check that out, especially if it's at Trader Joe's. That sounds good. The Dark Order, when did you get your contract with AEW?
I had like a per appearance deal, I think in December. Where,
oh, new, you're very new then.
No, last December, sorry. So last December.
Okay, a year.
So yeah, and then we got a full-time deal in July.
Even during COVID?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we got to, because we were still doing shows constantly. So that's like, July is when we started to do stuff on like the YouTube show Being the Elite. And then the crowd really started to really like us a lot, or started to get into us and wanted to see us. Then we had a few matches on TV, and we had a match, I think it was the match where, I think it was me and Alex versus Cody and Matt Cardona. And we got to the back and everyone was like saying how good it was. And then like, I remember everyone was like, you guys need to have a full-time deal now. Like Chris Jericho was saying that, like Butcher and the Blade, the rest of the Dark Order. And then eventually like, I guess Tony realized we weren't on a full-time deal. And then they offered us like that night. So it was pretty cool.
Who are some of your, I'm looking at all of the people on the roster. Who are some of your, not, I won't say favorites. Who do you really enjoy working with at All Elite? Who's like your go-to?
Well, sorry, I like to chew ice. I don't know why.
Yeah, chew it away.
But I haven't wrestled as like everyone yet. So there's a lot of people I really would want to wrestle. But I get along with so many people there, and I've known half the roster for like my whole like wrestling career. I've known, you know, Trent and Chuck for so long. Orange Cassidy, I've known for so long, and like I work very well with all these guys. I think Orange Cassidy might be one of my favorite people to wrestle.
Okay.
We've wrestled probably like around 10, 15 times on the independents. So got to get into it when we did it on the pay-per-view. It was pretty cool.
Dude, look how jacked you look. I'm looking at you on the roster. Like, you look freaking jacked.
The wide shoulders going on there, right?
Yeah, you got great trapezoids. I had Lance Archer. Lance Archer was around in TNA, so I knew him way, way back in the day. I used to actually sew some of his gimmicks for him, believe it or not. Oh. And I got to say, your traps are trumping... You're trumping Lance Archer. Sorry, Lance, but...
But, thank you. I'm going to tell him you said that.
Go ahead. What about Cody Rhodes? Has he taught you anything? Have you learned anything from him?
Yeah, I mean, he's very, like, hands-on to everything. Like, he has this position, and he doesn't want to do it lightly. So I like that about him. He's, you know, he could really worry about more about his matches and kind of do this, do that, but he really takes like the boss aspect into being there for everyone, trying to help the whole product and try to help everyone. So I really like that about him. He works really hard. That's the main thing about Cody that I like a lot, is he has his position. He wants to be the best he could possibly do at his job. So not just the wrestling, but everything behind stage. He's constantly working, constantly hustling. So I really like that's how he can be lazy if he really wants, but he doesn't half-ass anything.
No, that's nice to hear. His dad was so good to me and such an incredible man. And I learned a lot from Dusty. So it's nice to see what about his other sons? What about, does Dusty never does anything, right? He's got his own wrestling school. I mean, but does he ever come over and do anything with you guys or not?
Dustin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dustin's there. Dustin's there all the time. Dustin's
is
there.
He?
Yeah, he's the wrestles. He hasn't been on TV too recently. But he's still... I've wrestled him actually a few times.
At okay. IE.
Well, yeah.
He seems like a cool guy. I've never worked with him.
He's very cool.
Or met him, but he seems like he's even more old school than Cody, like yeah. Just old, old, old school. Okay, what have you learned from Chris Jericho?
So I've never got to wrestle Jericho, so I can't really say what type of in-ring things I've learned from Jericho, but he's very helpful. He likes to help. He likes to talk to a lot of especially the younger guys like me, and if he watches your stuff, he's very happy to like give you critiques and let you know what he thinks, but he was just telling me about my, you know, my gimmick, my personality. He's like, if this is your thing, like he was talking about me doing the Johnny Hungy thing. He's like, everyone loves to hear that. Everyone loves to say that. And if you're going to, every time you're on TV, you need to make sure you're saying that. You're reminding the people. The people want you to, that's what they want you to hear, like, to say. That's what they want to hear. So let them hear that. Like, that's your catchphrase. You're always saying your catchphrase because people always want to hear it. So he definitely likes to help, and I really appreciate all the help. Cause I'm a huge Chris Jericho fan.
What have you learned in wrestling that you apply to your daily life? I didn't realize what I learned in wrestling that I apply to my daily life until later, and I'm like, oh shit, that's from wrestling. What's something that maybe you're even thinking about now that you haven't before that only somebody in the wrestling world would know, and how does it help you in back in reality?
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Hold for motorcycles and assholes at the shithole biker bar by my house. And we can remember clear. Go ahead.
I guess maybe better ways to talk to people. I really like there's ways to talk to people. Like, I could always say exactly what I want, and, you know, you kind of have to, you really have to talk to people the right way in wrestling, or, you know.
Or what?
Or, I mean, or people are going to not like you. People are going to talk crap about you. And then all of a sudden, bad things can happen. So if you just got to make sure you're talking to people the right way. And sometimes, and I still fall into that where I can just say exactly how I feel, even though I say it kind of like a douchebag, but I don't mean to be a douchebag. I kind of say, so I'm like, no, you got to learn how to say things to people the right way so they're not getting offended or getting upset with you or getting pissed off. So I think just like that kind of makes, I don't know if that even makes sense.
To most, it does.
Yeah.
I was going to write down, you made a good point about if you don't say things the right way, you know, it's not like a 9-to-5 job where maybe you might get written up or somebody might report you to HR. Like in our business, you might get killed. Like I remember some guy was mad about something and I was really close friends with somebody and we all went out after the pay-per-view. We were at Hooters, surprise. Hmm. And he just kept saying like, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. And he didn't seem like himself. You know, he's always life of the party and really, really sick. And then, you know, later on that night, just like really sick. And then he started throwing up like black blood. Yikes. Like he had a really bad concussion and he wouldn't go to the hospital. And he's like vomiting black. My bustier is getting a little, gotta adjust. Vomiting black blood, vomiting all over himself. And then I brought him back to the hotel that he was staying at, got his room key, got him in. I was with a bunch of people and I was like, do you want us to stay with you or can we take you to the hospital? He wouldn't go. So anyway, I think I was like a few rooms down or something, or somebody else was, but we checked on him and like the sheets were just full of like deep, deep colored blood. And so I think we got him another rollout bed because that was so soiled. We just wanted to put him in something better, like not so. And then finally we were all in the lobby, like waiting around, like seeing how he was doing. And we like forced him to go to the hospital and he had a terrible, terrible concussion. And it was because a guy, you know, it was definitely a shoot in the ring that night and it wasn't a work. And I remember a year later, that guy was backstage shaking hands, you know, and all I remember is seeing my friend in the very corner of the asylum bleachers where they would get ready. That was the locker room because the locker rooms were being used for sex locker room for TV taping. And he was in the corner and he was taping his wrist. And I saw him taping this big metal plate in his left hand or right, whatever, I guess it would be left. And it was like a big metal plate so that when he did a flying clothesline, he could knock the guy out and like kill him, like give him either a concussion or more. Yeah. And, you know, that goes on way more than people talk about, or that's 20 years ago. So I can say it now, but like there's some really shady, nasty, dirty stuff that goes on. So, you know, karma is a bitch, but so is our job, you know, so you might want to, like you said, talk to people the right way. And that's something that I learned in real life. And one other thing is I remember I was interviewing and I said that so-and-so broke his leg and oh my God, Terry Taylor. He came in and he reamed me a new one. He just ripped into me. He's like, what are you doing? We have to rewrite everything now. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like he broke his leg. He's like, no, he appeared to break his leg. He appeared. And word choices are so powerful. Like if you're talking to somebody or about somebody, or you have a problem with somebody, be very careful with what words that you say. Once you've said it or written it down, you can't take that back. So you don't have to be a pussy or snowflake about it, but you know, just have tact. Like you're saying, like that goes a long way, and respect. And something that I learned because of jealousy in the business, whether it be wrestling or music or acting or movies or whatever I'm doing, TV, is I don't tell anybody anything that I absolutely don't have to. Like, I just don't give details, or I try to not run my mouth like I used to when I was really young and just bibble babble about everything, because somebody's going to be jealous. You're going to offend somebody or piss them off. I don't care about offending them, but like, I do when it's going to be them talking shit behind my back and somebody's going to get my spot, you know, yeah. Like that's what people don't understand. And like being in a huge wrestling promotion, like how many people are at like a show like this last week, How many people are present, would you say, for that day?
We got a lot now, especially because...
Well, how much is a lot?
We got just wrestlers, or we... I'm a bad estimator. I'm going to say we have 60 to 80 wrestlers, especially with the extras that we have. Because we were bringing a lot of extras for Elevation and AEW Dark. So all those people wrestle. We have a really big roster now. So we got to probably have around 80 people, I'd imagine. But there's a lot.
Do you have to take I'm choking. In case you can't see, but I have to be back on screen. Do you have to take a COVID test every show, or do you have to have your fever taken every few hours, or what's it like for your production?
Yeah, every time you go down, we got a COVID test. And then every time you get to the arena, we got to get our temperature taken. So lots of tests.
Not too bad.
Yeah, we haven't really had a lot of big problems. You know, it's worked pretty well, the test. So
Have you had it?
I haven't had it.
Oh, okay. I did. Wasn't that bad.
Yeah, so.
Some people have. The Dark Order, and what's new for you, we respect your time. You've just been so lovely to talk to. I didn't even get to half the questions that I have because you're just so cool. Those are my favorite interviews at all, just because when people just go their own flow and talk, and I want to see more of your promos. So I want to go look up more promos. I want to hear you talking more. I want them to have you talking more because you're really good.
Thank you.
But I was asking you, New Order.
Oh.
What's in store? What's going on? Are you branching off soon? Do you know? What can you say?
So we'll see. With the shoulder, I most likely, unless there are any hiccups, I shouldn't be out too long. I'm thinking probably maybe around a month or so. So I gotta wait till I come back. But I think Dark Order right now is doing great. I mean, I love our dynamic together. I think we all complement each other very well in the Dark Order, so I have no plans of splitting anytime soon. But, I mean, I think the good thing, too, is we could be in this group and, you know, I could have a singles main event title match and we're still the group. We're not, you know, it's not like, oh, John's all by himself now. We're still a group. We could have Bununo go for the tag titles. We could have, you know, five or 10 go wrestle these guys, and we're still just the group. So, I know right now we still got beef with Matt Hardy. So, we got to take care of him, but, you know, hopefully the rest of the Dark Order can do it while I'm out with the shoulder. But, hopefully I just come back nice and quick and get back to where we were, you know?
What did you learn from Matt so far?
Matt's great. Matt's like a super laid back, like one of the guys. Like we film like AEW Dark and Elevation after the shows, and at one point for some reason, I think it was probably an accident, but they had Matt's match last on Dark, which we run pretty late filming these things, so which that would be very late, but he didn't complain. Someone else was like, no, you can't make Matt Hardy go last. You have to move his matchup so he doesn't have to, you know, wrestle at 2:30 in the morning. Like, he has to, you know, go. But he would have been fine. He wouldn't have complained. He just kind of is there. He's very creative, and he's always thinking of different ways to be creative. That's what a really cool thing about Matt. He's always thinking of everything storyline-wise to make it better. Just always kind of thinking. Like, he's not just... What am I doing today? Like, he's just always has ideas, always has everything, like, just constantly thinking, which I really like. And he's very, very creative, very, very creative.
I love it. You're such a positive guy, and your vibe is just off the chain. Is this what you want to do till the end of time? Do you want to do this and then be somebody like what Jerry Lynn is doing in The Office and help in that way, or are there other things that you'd like to do tandem alongside it? Like, what can we look for in the next 10 years from John Silver?
I mean, I obviously really enjoy wrestling, so I want to do that as long as I can, but I like comedy, so I would think it'd be really cool if I can get into like comedy movies or TV shows or anything like that. I'd be you know, very happy with. So we'll see.
Well, I'm really looking forward to going and checking out more of the silver screen, especially the 40-year-old virgin take. I'm going to check that out right now. Where can everybody find you? I found you on Instagram. So what's your Instagram?
My Instagram and my Twitter are the same handle. It is at silver. Number is also spelled out, and then just the one.
Okay. And is that your preferred place for following, or do you do anything else?
Yeah, Instagram and Twitter is really the only really things I have. And then I have YouTube. My YouTube, you can just look up the silver screen, it should come up. And then Pro Wrestling Tees. Pro Wrestling Tees. Or I'm also on Cameo, so look me up on Cameo. Pro Wrestling Tees. I have a few shirts that are on the Being the Elite page. So okay. Those are the shirts that really sell the most. That's the Johnny Hungy shirt. The Silver is Gold shirt are on there. So those are the two best sellers for me. And then I think my other page is still my indie tag team. If you look up the Beaver Boys, that should also come up a few my older shirts as well.
And then people can find you on MySpace.
I'm on MySpace. I'm on MySpace. I don't even know.
In MySpace. That's so bad. I still have some promo pictures with the MySpace. Right. Yeah, I'm like, oh, but yeah, those ones I usually just give away free when somebody orders an 8x10. It's been an absolute joy and pleasure, and I really appreciate you allowing me to get to know you more and just hang in Goldie's closet, super chill. Mm-hmm. And this will be out in 1, 2, 3 more weeks. So I'll make sure I let you know, and we'll cut something funny. And I really appreciate you. Everybody was asking for you, so you're doing something very, very right.
Oh, thank you.
So cool. Well, we always do a clap at the end. Wake up. I know it's late. Clap a clap. Oh, you went older. Please put yourself in some pain. But anyway, as always, everyone, thanks on the Realm Network. Thank you to everyone at Russo's Brand and all of our patrons. You need to check into that, Mr. Silver. Yeah. Patrons and people who support. Stay safe out there and always stay golden. You've got a friend to show you. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Just doing the daily check-ins on Patreon. Wanted to wish you the greatest start to your week. Come on over to Patreon. We're doing a lot of customized love. We just want to make sure everybody's getting the attention that they need and deserve, and that's merited. But we still want to come by on regular social media platforms and say thank you so much for being here, both for me and for the band. Love you, and as always, stay golden.